Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this morning from Joshua 1. I read one verse, especially as text verse for the sermon. Joshua 1, verse 3. I read God's holy and infallible word as follows. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. The theme for the sermon is to enter the promised land. 3 points of attention. The first point, the land given. The second point, mighty promises. And the third point, be strong and of good courage. So the theme is to enter the promised land. 3 points, the land given, mighty promises, and be strong and of good courage. Congregation, it is a beautiful day. The sun is shining and there is a family out in the park to enjoy this day. You can see that, don't you? Children playing, enjoying their day off. Parents relaxing, they have a good time together. You can immediately tell that the sun is shining. It's so nice to have such a day, isn't it? Somewhere else in this world, in Iraq, soldiers are fighting. The dust and the blood is on their faces. Bombs are exploding. There's danger everywhere. People die. So what is Christian life like? Is it like a day out in the park? Or is it like a battlefield? It is like a battlefield. It's certainly not like a play garden. Although, if you go to bookshops and you would look into books that you can buy there, you would find books that describe how to make Christianity more enjoyable, the gospel more attractive. And so you could get the impression that there is a way to have a Christian life in a very easy way and enjoyable way. And for sure, there is a deep joy in Christianity, in true Christianity, in knowing Christ. In knowing salvation, the gospel is such a joyful message. It is such an amazing thing that God came down from heaven into this world. And that He and the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished everything. And that there is a full and sufficient salvation. Not to be received by climbing up in heaven or going to the depth, but it's near in the Word. It's a miracle. It makes hearts overflowing with gratitude and joy when people experience the need and the impossibility that they are in by nature, that sin is so strong and their nature so depraved and corrupt. And now here is a way provided by God. And Scripture tells us to walk in that way, to flee to this Savior. But we should not deny or forget the other truth that is also taught in the Word, That the Lord Jesus says to follow him, that means to take upon our cross daily, cheerfully. And that scripture is very clear about the fact that it is a fight of faith that the children of God have to fight on earth. And that a servant is not more than a master. And that they have hated the Lord Jesus, and that so they will hate those that follow him. And that there is a roaring lion going about, which is the devil, who has one desire, that is to defeat those that follow the Lord Jesus, to destroy them. Has one strong desire to kill our souls forever. Those things are also very clearly taught in the Word. And isn't that the experience of God's children? So if you are here this morning and experience that fight, that your soul is attacked by the devil, that you have a daily fight against your old nature, your flesh, and that you are ashamed about the doubts that can come in your heart. Well, what an encouraging thing to read in scripture how the Lord is coming to Joshua. Well, he is the new leader of the people. Moses died. And here he is, the servant of Moses, Joshua. And the Lord is coming to him. The Lord spake unto him, Joshua. He has such a big task. He has to bring the people into the promised land. You can imagine how hard it was for him to stand there and to have the task on his shoulders. He was one of the 10 spies who had been into the land. He had seen their mighty cities. He had seen that there were giants there. How could they ever fight them? But the Lord is speaking to him. And that makes all the difference. And the Lord is speaking to us in his word. And that makes all the difference in the battle that we have in this world. That we should have. Do you have it? The Lord made it very clear right from the beginning that there would be enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And I know in the first place we think about Christ, who's born as the seed of the woman and has conquered the devil. But all those that are united to him experience that same enmity. And so it makes all the difference. If we hear the word of the Lord or not, if we hear it by faith or not, and then if we hear it, listen what it's telling us, what the Lord is saying to Joshua. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, so he has to enter a land that is given. There's no question about that. It belongs to them. It is the promise of the Lord. And that promise has been there for a long time. It was already there in Genesis 12. When the Lord talked to Abram, he has already promised it to Abram and repeated that promise. So it is given in the promise of God. And that is the way that they have to enter the land. Isn't that true? Isn't that true for every child of God? Isn't that true for all those that by a living faith flee to Christ, that they hear and believe these promises of God, that everything is accomplished in Christ? And we need to hear that, so that we with Paul would cast away all other things, that we would quit to try to work ourselves up into heaven, that we would stop from our self-righteousness. And you might think, well, of course, I know that already. I've heard it many times. But we always are inclined to fall in that snare again, because it connects so much to our natural way of thinking. If I do this, if I perform that, if I could change that, and if I could improve there, then I will be more acceptable to God, then there is more possibility for me to be saved, then heaven will be nearer for me. And then we look unto ourselves, we look unto what we do, and we dishonor the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the moment we look unto ourselves, we look away from Christ. And he is more than Joshua. Well, it's the same name. Joshua is Hebrew and Jesus is Greek. There's the same meaning. The Lord Jesus Christ is more than Joshua. He is bringing his people into the promised land. And to see that in him is given that promised land, that in him is in the promise everything that we need for salvation. Yes, there still is a fight to fight. They have to cross the Jordan. They have to enter that land. Therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them. Which I do give to them. And the next verse, the Lord says, I have given unto you. And that's plural, so that's to the people. The Lord has given it. So those both are true. It is given. It is accomplished. It's all there. And then still, there is that fight of faith. There is that battle in entering that promised land. So sometimes we compare the Christian life to what happened to the people of Israel when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. We say, well, this life on earth for a Christian is like being in a desert, in a wilderness. In a certain way, yes. That's also an illustration, a figure, a picture of Christian life. And we look forward to heavenly Canaan, to enter that full glory of God. But we can also say Christian life is like this fight that Joshua and the people had to fight to enter the promised land. It's a daily fight. We confess it with the doctrines that of faith that we have. Oh, that we have a daily fight against our sinful nature, against the temptations of the world, against the attacks of the devil, but not a desperate fight. No, it is after we heard the word of God, and we hear it again and again, and the Lord worked faith in the hearts, and we see that the enemy is conquered, that Christ has victory over every enemy, and that makes all the difference. You see that? We have that strong hope in your heart that in Him, like Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, that in Him everything is already that I need. So it's not like climbing up into heaven. No, He came down to pick us up and to restore that relation with God by His work and sacrifice. And we see it by faith, and we get peace in our hearts, and that's like the fountain that we need to drink from to fight the daily fight. When we experience every day the enemy and our own impossibility, and then at the same time to be strong and have good courage, to see that the victory is sure, is certain, it is a land that is given, it is God's work. And that's why it happens. That's why sinners are saved. It is all prepared. It is all finished. Like the Lord Jesus cried upon the cross, it is finished. So there's nothing that I have to add or can add. No, I just follow His footsteps. And yes, that is a fight, it is a battle, daily. But oh, there is such a hope in the hearts, because of the love of Christ shed abroad. Do you understand that? Do you see that victory in Him, so that you will not be defeated? And this victory has to do with the promises. That victory, to experience that in your heart, has to do with the promises of God. And listen, how the Lord is speaking to Joshua, and how the Lord, for Christ's sake, is speaking to all those that flee to the Lord Jesus. Listen what we read in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Can it be stronger? No. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee. Yes, there are giants there, but none of them will be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, remember how I have helped Moses all those 40 years. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. It was not easy for Moses, certainly not, to lead the people And they murmured, and they were in rebellion against God and against Moses. But the Lord helped him all his days. So I will be with thee. It's not going to be easy. It's really deceiving if we, or misleading, if we would evangelize in a way that we would deny this truth. We have to be honest that there is a daily fight, but we have to tell that Christ has the victory. There was a man who was an alcoholic. He spent many hours and a lot of money in a public house. But God worked in his heart. And then his life changed. And when he would go to work, he would have to pass at public house. But he would never enter again by the grace of God. So the owner of that public house didn't like that. You can understand that. He didn't get the money of this man anymore. So one day when that man passed by again by that public house, the owner went out and said, "Oh, why do you always pass by? Never enter here like you did before." He said, "Well, no, it's not me passing by, it's we. It's Christ and I that pass by. He is with me." That was all the difference. That was the victory in the life of this man. That he depended on Christ every day. Otherwise he couldn't pass by. No, he would enter again. But he was not alone. Oh, that we would live that way. Depend on the Lord and have victory in him. You know why the people was 40 years in the wilderness? You know that, children, don't you? You remember those histories, how they send the spies into the land, 10. And there were only 2, Joshua and Caleb, that gave a good testimony. But then the others didn't. And then the people were discouraged. And they didn't want to go into the land. And then the Lord punished them. The generation would die in the wilderness. And that's what we read in the letters to the Hebrews, chapter 4. Why could they not enter? Because of unbelief. So here is the difference. There's only victory in the walk by faith. And otherwise there is no victory. We will be defeated. And maybe you say, "Well, that's my struggle. I've heard the word. I've heard the promises of God. But I do not find faith in my heart. I struggle with unbelief." Well, at least I'm glad to hear that you are aware of that. That you struggle with it. You say, "Well, that doesn't answer my question. I have no faith." Yeah, that's so sad, isn't it? That we have such unbelieving hearts. Oh, what a terrible thing. You know what unbelief is? It is not trusting God. Not trusting Christ. Not trusting his word. It would hurt parents, isn't it? When they would see that their children will not trust them, do not trust them. And how worse, how much worse it is when people do not trust the Lord. So yeah, it's good that you look, that you see your unbelief and see how horrible it is. How, what a shame it is that you do not trust God, who never lies, who is the truth, who gave his word. Not trusting God. You say, but still, I don't know what to do about it. How can it change in my life? So the first thing is, acknowledge it, admit it before God. The second thing is, see what a sin it is and be ashamed about it. And then think about your need of faith. But also remember that God says in his word that faith is a gift of God. So that your hearts may be lifted up unto the Lord. That there might be hope in your heart because it is a gift of God. And so he can work that. And he will. If you seek it from him. And in his word. Oh, that amazing work of the Spirit in the heart. To incline the heart to surrender to God. To trust him. To have expectation. To have hope in your heart. Why? Because of what he has written in his word. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life? Oh, to find rest in the word of God, in his mighty promises, and to experience that the Lord, where all things at your side are cut off, that the Lord is showing his might, his power, his ability, his willingness, his sufficiency, and that your heart is sinking on that rock of ages, on Christ, on the Word that became flesh. Amazing promises the Lord is giving in his word. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Yeah, there are those days. Pastor, there are those days that I kneel down and that I confess everything before the Lord. But afterwards, it's all fainting, and I'm afraid that it was not true. And I'm certainly afraid that I will not persist to walk in the ways of the Lord. How can I? I have such a heart that's wandering away from God. And I fall in sin again and again. Well, listen. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Isn't that a mighty promise? You will fail. You have not the faithfulness. But the Lord says, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So, there should be a change in our mind, in our heart. Not to look unto ourselves for comfort and hope, but to look away. Yes, it's good to discover how we are, but don't stay there. But look away unto Christ and him crucified. And he resurrected. And he ascended to heaven. And there he is, that praying high priest. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. What a mighty promises of God. And he will certainly keep his promises. That's not the only promise in the word. No. If you say, well, yeah, that was something in that historical situation. And that God gave his promise about the victory over the enemy, the promise about his presence and power, his faithfulness, the promise that they would receive the land, and that God would keep his promise, all those things. Yeah, now we live so much later. We live ages, thousands of years later. But remember how the Lord has repeated those promises in the New Testament. Remember that he is the same God, that he did not change. Remember what John is writing in his first letter, in the 5th chapter. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith. Yes, it's a gift of God. And at the same time, it's something that the Spirit is working in our hearts to depend on him. And that is the way to overcome the world with all its darkness and enmity and temptations. It is a fight. But oh, it is a fight in victory because of the promises of God. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be careful, that we shouldn't watch and listen to the word. We certainly have to do that. We come to that later in this chapter. But remember some more promises of God given in the New Testament. Remember Hebrews 13. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Remember Matthew 28. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And the same chapter, I am with you always. Remember 1 Corinthians 15. God giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. I could continue for a long time to read all those promises of God. Do you feel defeated? Oh, that you would take your Bible, that you would underline those words of God, and they are true, and that the Spirit would use them and apply them to your heart. A congregation, the land that the Lord had given to the people was very big. If you read the promises to Abram, then we talk about a land, let's say more or less 300,000 square miles. 300,000 square miles. They only took a tenth part of it. A 30,000 square miles. Isn't that the same with us? There is so much that the Lord has given in his word, in his promises, to be received by faith. It might be that we not even a tenth part took by faith. What a shame. Such a riches in Christ. And if we live spiritually so below that level, what he is showing in his word, what a shame. The people didn't like the fight. And so as soon as they could make a living, they stopped to cast out the enemy, to conquer the enemy, to defeat the enemy. And so they took only the tenth part of what the Lord had promised to Abram. And we, how is it in your life? How is it in your heart? Oh, that we would meditate more upon the riches of Christ, upon his beauty, upon his word, upon his work, so that our hearts will be filled with his work, his grace, his power, his strength. And let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 419, stanza 1 till 3. 419, stanza 1. Forth from thy courts, thy sacred dwelling, in jubilant accord. 419, stanza 1 till 3.
Thank you.
Congregation, if we read this chapter, we find four times words like be strong and of good courage. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, be strong and of a good courage. And then at the end of the chapter and in the answer of the people, only be strong and of a good courage. So that's what Joshua has to be strong and of good courage. But let us remember the order in this chapter. So first the Lord tells him that he has to go over this Jordan unto the land which I do give to them. And then the Lord says, and I have given it in the promise. And then he says, well, and then he comes with those mighty promises. So they have to enter the land. And he says, well, you certainly will have it because I gave it in the promise. And then he says, well, and listen, I will be with you. And no one can stand before you. And I'm faithful, and I not fail, and I not forsake you, and I will keep my promises. And then he says, be strong and of good courage. Isn't it wonderful to see that, how the Lord does it? He's showing his might, his goodness. And then he says, be strong and of good courage. He's providing everything. And then he says, be strong and of good courage. He's given us his word, his son. Christ gave his life. He paid the price. And then it says, be strong and of good courage. And then there's something else. So, yeah, maybe you have a hard time with it that you say, well, but I'm weak. Yeah, so, but do you understand the secret? Do you see the key to be strong and of good courage? It is not in you, but it is out of Christ. I can do all things for Christ, who strengthened me for Christ's sake, because of what Christ has done, because of whom he is. So in other words, if you think, well, I'm weak, and that will never change, so there cannot be a change in my life, there are certain weaknesses in my life, in my character, there are certain habits that are wrong, but I'm weak, and so that it's impossible that anything can change, that's against the word. Then you deny that God is almighty and giving his word, and that he says, be strong and of good courage. And he does that with a reason. It's not just something in the air, but it's on a foundation. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. So be strong and of good courage. Well, Christ has all power in heaven and on earth. So be strong and have good courage. Or is that not true? So, well, we all know, don't we, that justification is by faith. We, justified by faith, have peace with God. It's all his accomplished work that my soul finds comfort and consolation in. But it's not only justification that is by faith. It's also sanctification that is by faith. It's his strength. It's his power. revealed in the lives and the hearts of the children of God. So if we would deny that, then we dishonor the Lord Jesus, and we have a too narrow view and sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not see completely his riches, his great power, his ability to do what we cannot do, if we would have faith, if we would be strong and of good courage. Not in ourselves. No, the secret is to look away from ourselves. In a certain way, that's for example also the secret of humility, true Christian humility. Some people think, well, it's that you think very low of yourself. In a certain way, that's true, but maybe it's much more that you do not think so much about yourself, but that your mind is fixed on Christ, is in his direction, your thoughts are going in his direction. Isn't that the secret of true humility and of all those other fruits of the fruit, part of the fruit of the Spirit? Be thou strong, should I say, have much expectation of Christ. Expect a lot from him. Be thou strong and very courageous. There's something else in this chapter. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand, to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do you remember how this history continued? Jericho fell, yes, but then the next city came, Ai. There the people was defeated more than once. How is that possible that they were defeated at Ai? Because the Lord said in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. There they come. People died. They were defeated there. Yeah, maybe you had that experience in your personal life. You lost. You were conquered by the enemy, by sin, by the devil, the temptation of the world. You gave in. Not one time, but again and again. How is that possible? Is the promise of God not true? Is it not true that shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life? Well, they did conquer Ai. They did defeat their enemies there. Not immediately. And you cannot blame the Lord for that. No, it was their sin. Achan, he had stolen what belonged to the Lord. So the Lord chastised, and they were defeated because of this transgression. And so that happens in our lives. It happens. Do we not have to confess at those times that we were defeated, that we did not do with word what is written here? It shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Maybe you say, well, now you bring us under the law. No. I want to bring you in the word. I want you to live near to Christ. And we need him. We need to know him more. And so he is there in the Word. And it should be in our mind. And there is the key, the secret. Because faith, where does faith come from? You know that, isn't it? Romans 10, verse 17. Faith is by the Word. So we have to be in the Word. It shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. It's not a burden. It's not something that you perform in anxious fear so that you might be acceptable to God, but you perform it in a loving gratitude, and you know how good it is to be near to the Lord. And you know that the love of Christ revealed in the Word is like a wall around your mind and heart, and you need it so much to defend that city of the soul of man. Oh, you need it so much in this battle that we have here on earth. And the Lord is so good that he has given his Word and his law to reveal his will, which is a blessing if we walk in it. Be strong and of a good courage. Meditate upon it. Fill your mind, your heart with it, with the Word, with Christ, with his will. And you will live near to the Lord. You will be most safe. There shall not any man be able to stand there before thee all the days of thy life. I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Yes, there was a battle, but they would conquer in the power of the Lord. There were 2.5 tribes that had their property at this side of the Jordan. So you could say, well, then everything was finished for them already. But no, Joshua says, you have to fight this battle, this fight, so that we will conquer the enemy. And they do. They are most willing. According as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord God, thy God, be with thee as he was with Moses. So they want, they are willing to fight a battle. And, you know, isn't that the same for us? That we have to make a priority, which is a priority. They first had to fight a battle, then would enjoy the peace and the fruits. It was a young man who started his business. But the things of the Lord, the spiritual things, became very powerful in his life. He saw his need, and he was very busy with those things of the Word and of the Lord and the kingdom of God. And his father warned him. He said, it's a shame, but it happened. His father said, my son, you first have to establish your business, and those things come later. And then this son was wiser than his father. He said, no, the Word is teaching me different. The Word is teaching me, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto that. And that is true. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, we have a battle. We have a fight. But to be near to Christ, makes it good. It's all well because he is with me. He has won the victory. It fills my heart with such a hope and such a joy. Oh, there are such moments in my life that I see that victory, and that I'm aware that nothing is impossible, and that I certainly will inherit that full blessing of heavenly joy. And then, what about that battle? That doesn't matter. If Christ is with me, if he is keeping my mind and heart with his love and peace. There was a lady, she became blind and deaf, and people pitied her. Oh, we feel so sorry for you. But she said and wrote, "People don't know that golden chamber in my heart with a shining light of faith. Although sinister doubts lurk in the shadow, I walk unafraid with the Lord." Christian life is not a playground. It is a battleground, but a victory is sure and received by faith. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, shine in our hearts, that there will be that golden chamber in our hearts. Circumstances might be difficult. They are. Our weakness is so terrible. Our sinful nature, our depravity. Oh, if we look onto that, it can discourage us. We can be defeated by the feeling of that. That we will look unto that mighty Savior and his word, his promises, and know that victory is in him, and that he will never forsake those that depend on him, and that we will come with all our sinfulness, with all our impossibility, with all our depravity, with all our unbelief to him, lay it before him, that thou, O Lord Jesus, would heal us, like thou hast done so many miracles on earth, healing those that were sick, or that thou would heal that spiritual disease, that thou would make death, dead sinners alive, O Lord, and that they will be made alive by the power of thy word, that that will be the fruit of the proclamation of thy word. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst make this word, these words, to stay in our heart, that we will meditate upon it, and in our mouth, that we will speak about it, and that our souls will be saved, and thy kingdom will prosper. Lord, help us in the catechism and Sunday school adult classes, that we will experience there also. And thy word is sweet, sweeter than honey. Lord, hear us. We pray in the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.